copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
In the brief definition that we have offered, we talked about system. And we introduced this word. And I think it is very important to have at least a grasp of what is entailed in the use of this word and why it is applicable to Catholicism. There are two main approaches to the whole issue of Catholicism. The one is atomistic, and of course this is a methodological point that can be extended to other topics, other areas of study. Atomistic approaches and systemic. With atomistic approach, we understand that as we approach Catholicism, we study one doctrine after the other. If our interest is driven by doctrinal concerns, we study the doctrine of the Trinity and we analyze the different developments, the different aspects, the different components. Or if we are more interested in the dynamics of the Catholic Church, we address one movement within the Catholic Church, say the Franciscan, the Dominican movement, the Jesuit movement, the Marian devotions, the Liberationist movement, the Charismatic movement, and we study it, we concentrate on it. Or we focus on one spirituality within Catholic, Roman Catholic spirituality. Or we concentrate our interest on one region, geographical region. Or, this is what often happens, we tend to project our understanding of Catholicism through the personal experience with Catholic friends. Since we know some Catholic friends, some Catholic neighbors, that personal dealings shape our understanding of the whole. And that's another way in which an atomistic approach can take place. Or we concentrate on one historical era. We say, oh, what is happening now needs to be completely detached from 18th, 17th centuries that have passed by. You know, the Spirit is doing something new now. I'm not interested in what happened 5 centuries ago, a millennia ago. This is another way of practicing an atomistic approach. So gathering particulars, failing to see the big picture and the dynamics that is taking place there. And I think that many evangelical, legitimate, informed, important contributions to an assessment of Roman Catholicism often come from and are shaped by an atomistic approach. They go doctrine by doctrine, they go spirituality by spirituality, they go from one story to the other, and they fail to see how Roman Catholicism makes sense as a whole. They tend to replace what is their atomistic view with what is true as far as the whole is concerned. Now, a systemic approach tries to gather, of course, all the data, all the particulars, all the information, all the different strands, all the different perspectives, but tries also to integrate them, because Catholicism is a whole. Of course, it's a complex whole. It is a differentiated whole. It is a layered whole. It is a structured whole, at times fractured whole. But nonetheless, it is a whole made of a doctrinal component, spiritual component, historical component, institutional component, political component, and the all of these different perspectives need to be taken and appreciated as to forming a whole. In other words, biologically speaking, with a biological metaphor, we should look at what is the finding or exploring, what is the DNA of Catholicism. Of course, the expressions of Catholicism are different. But what is the DNA? What makes it what it is? What makes it Roman Catholic? What makes Roman Catholicism what it is in all aspects? So this is the challenge, methodologically speaking. And the risk of a systemic approach is then to be superficial, to be predictable, to be... at times it can be arrogant, say, oh, I know what you believe. No, we have to do our homework, gathering all the data as much as we can and listening to the nuances, to the differences, and appreciating the shades and nuances and the colors of the system. And yet, we then need to integrate them. Otherwise, we are just piling up elements of Catholicism, but that will not give us at least a picture that takes the whole of Catholicism as such. As we read Catholic theologians or exegetes, much of their work is very good in terms of Christological reflection or biblical studies. And how does it relate to the possibility of reading these works in atomistic ways as opposed to more systemic approaches. And of course, that's true also for me. We're all involved in a daily exercise of reading, conversing, talking, listening to Catholic voices and Catholic theologians. I think it is fair to say that not all books or works, they do reflect the whole of the Catholic vision as such. They do not focus on the overall perspective. They give us an historical dogmatic study. They give us a reflection upon or a piece of scholarship as far as one particular topic is concerned. Our task is then to see the connection of what we read with, let's say, the catechism of the church, or the what is the church then promoting on the ground, what is the church actually teaching in its ordinary efforts. And so to see that brilliant, sound, orthodox, Christological piece of work and reading it through, what then is the practical outcome of what the church that theologian belongs to then works out in terms of its ordinary popular teaching, and that at least helps us to put these important pieces of scholarship into perspective, not at all denying the validity, the importance that we can, and the things that we can learn and from these pieces of scholarship, but at the same time not being able to stretch our theological understanding to connect these elements to a bigger whole. And maybe not assuming that what we read is just the final, completed, fully orbed picture of Catholicism. It's one aspect. Maybe it may be a significant one, but not the one that gives us a fuller apprehension of the phenomenon. In my experience of reading, especially Catholic biblical exegetes or Bible scholars, I see over and over again a disjunction between what they write as far as the Bible is concerned, and many times I see them approaching the understanding of the Bible that would lead them to more evangelical understandings of the gospel, but they decide not to jump over the dogmatic level. They say this is what, you know, exegesis is about. This is what biblical studies are about. I'm not interested in, you know, what came out of that tradition and what the magisterium says about the full implications of it. They do not take the responsibility of moving forward their reflection from the biblical level or the biblical scholarship to, say, the dogmatic level, to, say, the pastoral implications. They are so professionalized at times that they don't want to step out of their comfort zone. And the same is true as far as historical scholars, historians, that they may go into detail in reassessing eras or periods of church history, but not always been willing to connect what comes out of their historical research to what then that historical research means for the present day outlook of the church, and so on and so forth. So our attempt should be always to look for, to ask the questions, what are the implications for Catholic doctrine, Catholic spirituality, Catholic institutionalized structure, and to see whether or not the pieces that we read are actually how they make sense within the overall system of the church and the teaching of the Catholic Church. So Roman Catholicism is a combination of two fundamental pillars. One is the Roman pillar and the other is the Catholic pillar. The genius of Roman Catholicism is always to maintain the tension between these two pillars. Catholicism is what it is because it is at the same time Roman and Catholic. Catholic and Roman. If we only take the Catholic side over against the Roman, we have something different that is not Roman Catholicism. If we take the Roman side and eliminate the Catholic side, we end up in a caricature. Now, it doesn't mean that these two pillars are always in a settled balance. Catholicism is a living body, and the tension between this dual identity is ongoing. And for long periods of time, the Roman element has prevailed over the Catholic element, becoming the central, more emphasized aspect of the Roman Catholic identity. Think of the Council of Trent, very Roman. The dogmas, the canons, the anathemas, the reinforcing of the Catholic structure in terms of its divisions in dioceses and so on, centralizing the decision-making processes. Vatican I, very Roman council, proclaiming the infallibility of the Pope. The whole of the 19th century was very Roman. Not excluding the Catholic side, but emphasizing one and not really emphasizing the other. Vatican II in the 20th century has seen the rebalancing of the tension. And it can be said that Vatican II is the attempt by the Catholic Church to recover its Catholicity and to rebalance the equilibrium in terms of emphasizing the Catholic aspect and, at least in part, de-emphasizing the Roman aspect. The Roman aspect is largely shaped by imperial paradigms, the papacy, hierarchical structure, top-down institution, canon law, centralized tendencies, absolute power exercised in the Catholic Church. These are all elements derived from the imperial paradigm, and that make the Catholic Church very inherently, organically related to the city of Rome, the history of Rome, the symbolism around Roman history. At the same time, it is Catholic, universal, embracing, global, outward looking. And the genius of Catholicism is always to combine the two elements, not on a settled equilibrium, but in an ongoing tension. So for many centuries of the Church, the Roman concern has been driving the life of the Church. From Vatican II onwards, it is the Catholic concern that is more driving the concerns of the Church. And with Pope Francis, this attempt to find a new balance has come to a climax. John Paul II was still maintaining that balance, maintaining the Roman elements, promoting the Catholic elements, traveling around the world, talking to the whole world, recapturing center stage for the Church, the Catholic Church in the world, but maintaining the Roman status of the Church. Benedict XVI again was attempting to have these two elements in equilibrium. Pope Francis is really pushing the pedal of Catholicity and not really being interested with the Roman aspect of the Catholic Church. So there is an inherent dialectic of centralization and absorption going on as far as the Catholic Church is concerned. The Roman element emphasizes hierarchical authority, confrontation of those who disagree, epitomized at the Council of Trent and Vatican I, the Inquisition, persecution of heretics, lack of recognition of churches outside of Rome, unchanging character of doctrine, overemphasis on the one center of the Church, inward focused type of mentality, focus on the Eucharist and the sacraments. These are all features stemming out of the Roman pillar. As far as the Catholic pillar is concerned, these are the expressions of it. Outward absorption, welcoming those who disagree. Vatican II epitomizes that. In a way, Thomas Aquinas is a medieval precursor or interpreter of what it means to be a Catholic theologian, synthesizing Aristotle, converting kings, absorption of renewal movements, and one of the last ones which has been absorbed is the charismatic movement, recognition of other Christians as brothers and sisters, development of new doctrine, many varieties of Roman Catholicism, orders such as like the Franciscans, outward focus, integrating new ideas into the Church. You see, there is an ongoing dialectics here. And at times, even evangelical assessments are so concentrated on the Roman aspect, going back to Trent. Oh, this is what Catholicism is all about. Having a wooden, rigid, static view of Catholicism. Or, this is more the case with present-day evangelical assessments, we're so attracted by what's happening as far as the Catholicity of the Church that we fail to appreciate the fact that as this Catholic development takes place, it is never to be meant against the Roman element. It's just another way of establishing the balance. And we need to, again, a systemic approach would help us to appreciate the trends and directions of both, but never seeing them in isolation from the other. But always trying to have a big picture. And not because we want to superimpose our own grid, but it is what Roman Catholicism is, and it is the way in which it presents itself by way of self-defining itself as Roman Catholic. So it's about being fair to what the nature of Catholicism presents itself to us, and to be aware that what is taking place needs always to be integrated within a wider whole. So Pope Francis is pushing the Catholic pedal, but and that is true, but there is always the Roman element in the background, at times resisting, but always being to be integrated in what is doing. And that, I think, can help us to at least be aware of what is happening without concentrating all of our attentions on one single phenomenon at the expense of the appreciation of the whole.